Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. The United Nations Secretary General has voiced deep concerns over escalating violence in West Darfur and called on Sudanese authorities to expend all efforts to end the fighting and protect civilians. At least 83 people were reportedly killed and more than 160 wounded in intercommunal clashes over the weekend. Houses are also said to have been destroyed and about 50,000 people have been displaced. In a statement on Sunday, Antonio Guterres called on the Sudanese authorities to expend all efforts to de-escalate the situation. He also called on them to bring an end to the fighting, restore law and order, and ensure the protection of civilians. The violence comes only weeks after the joint African Union-United Nations peacekeeping mission ended its operations. The military drawdown is expected to be completed by the middle of the year. Talks to help secure a peaceful future for Libya made progress at the UN in Geneva at the weekend, with agreement on an interim political leadership deal ahead of nationwide elections at the end of the year. Announcing the development on Saturday, acting UN Libya envoy Stephanie Williams said that the Libyan delegates who travelled to the Swiss city had broken the deadlock over selecting representatives for a temporary executive from all regions of the country. It has been split since the overthrow of President Muammar Gaddafi in 2011, with conflict between the UN-recognized Government of National Accord in the west and the Libyan National Army in the east. The terms of the Geneva deal would be decided by a vote on Monday by the 75 members of the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum in Tunis, Ms. Williams told journalists at a virtual press conference. She described the proposal as the best possible compromise, as it respects the regional dimension and encourages people to work across the divide and across regions in order to strengthen understanding and to build unity in the country. The temporary authority will be replaced by a permanent, democratically elected government chosen by the Libyan people. The UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, has issued an appeal for the immediate release of Alexei Navalny in Russia. The opposition activist and blogger was arrested on Sunday upon returning to Moscow's Sheremetyevo airport from Germany after recovering from an attempt to kill him last year, which he blames on the Kremlin using the nerve agent Novichok. In a tweet, the UN Rights Office said that it was deeply troubled by Mr. Navalny's arrest and called for his immediate release. Due legal process should be respected in line with the rule of law, OHCHR continued, before reiterating its call for a thorough and impartial investigation into his poisoning. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
That was the latest from that international worldwide den of spies, but at least they're open. And now we have John Grant live. John Grant, good afternoon.
Hello there. How are you, Mike?
Hello. I'm having fun. The snow is melting away in Kansas.
Oh,
thank goodness. Okay. We will be up to bright and sunny, climate warming, 55 degrees tomorrow.
Ooh,
so,
wow. Yeah. We have a lovely day today. I guess it's the high 40s, but it's very sunny and lovely.
Is there snow on the ground?
No, not here. No, we had one minor snowstorm, and that's it. That's fine with me. This Florida boy is just fine with no snow. That's just. Whereas my dear wife loves the snow, you know.
I do too.
Always reminds me of my dear grandmother who lived on a hill in New Jersey, and she always loved how beautiful the snow was. But the buses were sliding sideways down the hill. One of landed in her lawn, you know. She didn't seem to worry about that. It's just so beautiful.
Small problem. I like it. I like the snow because I don't have to go outside and do anything.
There you go.
With all this work outside, when I step outside my door, all I see is work.
Right. I hear you. Yeah, I'm getting the same place with roof in the garage and back I got to fix. Anyway.
No, that's terrible. Yeah, I didn't realize that you're, that's crazy stuff to deal with, especially in the snow. Hey, well, so, I mean, we've had our, we talked a little bit last week about the, well, the World Socialist website. I was watching that earlier. Listen, if you ever got to consider going there, it's easy to remember. World Socialist website, WSW.
Okay.
Yes. WSWS.org. And they're calling it Trump's Coup and the Rise of Fascism. Where is America going? And I thought that was a good question to put to you. Do you think now, you know, the World Socialist website, listeners, is ran by what's left of the Trotskyite group blend of Marxism in the world today. And it is a worldwide organization. They put out some great news articles. I wanted to put that question. Where is America going, John Grant? Is it
it's interesting because a friend of mine, a Vietnam veteran poet, well-known poet, sent out a thing with a lot of images talking about from the Pequot massacre, 1637, the Civil War, all throughout, you know, as to who, you know, this idea of who we are. This is not who we are. This is who we are. And that these kinds of questions we're seeing more and more, like, who are we? Well, you know what, we're 350 million people across 3,000 miles, we're a lot of things. And it seems to me that it becomes part of the problem when we start deciding who we are, you know, in that absolute sense, you know, because... I'm of the school that, say, individual identity is like, you know, trying to capture mercury loose on the floor. You know, it's like you're not the same. You know, you can never, what is it, Epictetus back in the early Greeks said you can never step in the same river twice. Well, if you see that as a philosophical metaphor, you know, river's always flowing, so you're never in the same river twice. You know, it may be you're getting pollution in it for 1 minute, and then that pollution swings by, and you get sewage, and God knows what else is in the river. So it's a different river every time you stick your foot in it. And people are just like that, metaphorically. You know, we're, our consciousness, whatever the hell that is, you know, where is that? Is it in your head or where is, you know, really, you know, everybody, think about it. You know, when you think images, you see images, where the hell is that going on? Is that going on in your head? Well, you know, great philosophers like Wittgenstein and people like that have always, you know, speculated on where is it? Nobody really knows. So, you know, whoever you are at one moment is not necessarily who you are at another moment. And just because somebody has trolled you and on the National Enquirer or somebody and it did a gotcha that, you know, in September 12th, 1964, you did something or other, gotcha, it means...
Right.
You're defined by that moment for the rest of your bloody life.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, in the politics of what we live in nowadays, that is the case. You know, gotcha, you know. I'm of the school that we need to get away from that. And, of course, with all the polarization going on and the struggles going on and the indication of the struggles of this January 6th affair, which means that all is not well in the United States. There's a real struggle on this to, if you will, who we are. You have all these absolute elements. We want to be absolutely this or absolutely that. We want to be certain of this and certain of that. And, you know, get to the point people are willing to kill you over it. You know, you really do have a problem. And so that's kind of the context that I look at it in, that, yes, we are in a struggle as to, you can look at it as the Constitution, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. what is more important to people? The First Amendment? Okay, you want to, you're a truth seeker in that sense. Whereas if it's the Second Amendment is more important to you, you're a power seeker. You know, you want power. The hell with truth. I want control. I want power. And if you don't like what somebody's saying, you fucking kill them, you know, and theoretically. Because the Second Amendment is about guns, you know, and guns are about power and control and, you know, getting rid of people we don't like and whatnot. Whereas the First Amendment is about hashing things out and discussing and saying, wait a minute, you're full of shit. No, wait, no, you're full of shit. But doing it in a less hostile kind of, you know, trying to find a synthesis and that kind of thing. So I don't know, identity, who we are, you know. That's not who we are. Well, that may be a part of who we are, you know. Donald Trump wants to make us who my poet friend suggested, you know, with the Pequot Massacre in 1637. Yes, Donald Trump would say, yes, that's who we are. We slaughtered those goddamn savages in order to take their land. Yes, that's what we did, and we should do more of that, you know. That's his position. And there's certainly an argument in American history that that's who we are, you know. So here we are. We're arguing about it. You know, it's an eternal struggle. What do you think of all that?
Well, who was this philosopher about taking a dip in the river? Who was this guy?
I believe it was Epictetus. He's a Greek.
Wow. Okay.
He was a slave. He's a Greek slave. Very smart guy. And, he said, amongst other things, the one I always like is you can never step in the same river twice.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I was raised along a river, and I picked this spot because it was near a river.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. That's a great saying, and I think you're onto something. You know, I was telling you in our morning call, that, you know, I've been looking at these videos thousands of these videos that people took of themselves,
sure,
attending the January 6th. And listeners, go to ProPublica. That's where they're all at. And they've done a fantastic job of collecting all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I noticed was that the crowd was huge. It was really maybe, I would say, 45,000 to 50,000 people.
Oh,
outside.
Absolutely. I think no question. Maybe 100,000. Because there's a photograph in the New York Times magazine from the, I guess, the steps. And it's like, my God, that crowd goes on forever back there. You know, notwithstanding those who got in the building, there were thousands and thousands who apparently never even got in the building, you know.
It was only the most
energetic and adrenaline-driven lunatics who got into the building.
Right. Well, see, there was this thing, another thing I learned from watching these videos and reading a great article in The New Yorker by Luke Mogelson. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Mm-hmm.
Among the insurrectionists. It's online.
Right.
And I was reading, and he pointed out that it's a mile and a half from the Washington Monument to Congress, to the Congressional Building.
Right.
And, I would think twice about hiking that far at my age, a mile and a half. How long would it take me to get there, you know?
Right.
But it's no sooner than Donnie gave his speech, there was already, you could call the advanced contingents of podunks, you know, fully dressed up as combat soldiers and all, G.I. Joes and paintball warriors. Paintball warriors. Yeah, detachments of paintball warriors that, you know, that were assembled there, as well as others.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already heading out that way. And the crowd was slow. I mean, as usual, they heard the speech, and then they figured out these people were marching to the hill, and I would say 2/3 maybe started taking the hike behind these people, and I would say easily less than maybe 1% actually entered into the Capitol building, fought to get up the steps, and fought to get in. The large majority, you know, was out standing outside, basically cheerleading and just having a rally. And I don't think they were aware of the amount of violence that was going on, or they were treating it like something out of the Lord of the Rings. You know, it was just sort of like, you know, it was like the battle was going on up front, and you could hear old people down on the ground going, hold the line and get up there. And there was a period in one video where they were breaking down the door and assaulting these officers. They'd already went through the barricades, the outer perimeter barricade. And they were assaulting the door, and the Capitol Police were continuously macing this, and it was in a tunnel. It looked like a tunnel. I think it was a hall. It was an entrance on the ground floor, or I think it's a ground floor, and it's like a tunnel. And they were going, and there was just no way you could get any more people in this tunnel crammed into it. And the door was that famous scene where that one Capitol Police officer was getting crushed in the door. That's where this was occurring. They were spraying this crowd over and over and with tear gas, trying to drive them out of that tunnel, short of using guns, which they did not do. They didn't fire into the crowd. And the idiots, I'll call them, I don't know what you call them, you know, the advance guard, whatever you want to call them, the crazy fuckers, they were spraying bear spray back at the Capitol Police.
Right, and they were using fire extinguishers for the smoke, you know,
it was extremely hot. And this was where it got medieval. The medieval part, and I'll put you, caller, I can see you, and I'll put you on it just a minute. They had the foresight, or whatever you want to call it. They were saying fresh people, and they were the crowd was letting them, once it got sprayed, go back, and new people come forward to take more spray and push. And then at one point, it got to the crowd going heave ho, and they were pushing. It was like right out of something out of like a castle, like they were trying.
Right.
It was crazy. Right. I've never seen that kind of.
Well, at one point, they had some sort of large pipe. And they were using it like a battering ram, with three or four people slamming it against this door. And it was a heavy pipe, I guess, and it was resting on some sort of abutment thing. And so they were slamming it, bam, bam, into this door. So there was a lot of thought going on into this. You know, like you say, a lot of those people got to the Capitol, you know, before Trump was even finished his speech. You know, so this was under part of the plan. His speech didn't incite these people. These people had been incited already. They were there to do what they did, to break through and to, you know, create this incident, which, you know, most of us damn completely. I mean, five people were killed in it. One cop was beaten to death, and another one committed suicide the next day. You know, amongst the right, this is now, I understand, held as a great moment, a great success, martyr and everything. You know,
Yeah, I'm gonna put Steve on. He's on.
Okay.
Hold on. Here we go. Steve. Oh
yes.
Steve's
out
of
Indianapolis.
Hello, Steve. You gotta turn.
The good
Steve,
state of Indiana. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
good state of Indiana, guys.
You got to turn off your TV. You got to turn off anything in the background, okay? Your TV or radio. Turn it down at least because we can hear it, okay? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right,
hi,
guys.
Steve.
So, yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah,
go ahead, Steve.
One thing that's going to be interesting is, guys, I think it's pretty much checkmate time because with the vaccine, I think they're targeting the aggressive areas of the brain to make you die. So you will not have the aggressiveness to resist and fight back. And that's the thing. This vaccine, whew,
what?
I tell you, I think
now,
they're
look,
targeting.
Look, wait a minute.
Well, let's back up
Steve,
here a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve, we're talking about January 6th and the motivation of people at the Capitol, okay? Can you want to talk about that, or that's what we're going to talk about?
I wish patriots would stop, like, arguing with the mainstream media. Like, when you have media that's bought off, that's Wall Street-owned, constantly trying to reply to them, it's like you're talking to a cement brick wall. Like, we know 99% of the protest was peaceful. We know that for a fact. But the patriots constantly want to respond to the mainstream media like they want to get their approval. Stop responding to the mainstream media. You're never going to get their approval. Never, ever. You will never get their approval. Stop seeking the approval. If the American people want to be controlled by the mainstream media, this country is finished and there's nothing anybody can do about it. If their minds want to be controlled by the mainstream media, there's nothing we can do about that. We're just sitting here talking to a brick wall when we try to address the mainstream media. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I, you know, as someone who reads the mainstream media every day and someone who has a master's of journalism from Temple University in mainstream media, to me, the mainstream media is reality. I mean, I don't discount that there's corruption, that there's arrogance in the mainstream media. But, you know, I mean, what gets me is Fox News claims that they aren't part of the mainstream media, which I just can't understand, you know. Of course they're part of the mainstream media. I just, you know, this is just like MSNBC. They're both part of the mainstream media. But they seem to get people to believe that somehow they're not, that they're the patriots, as you say. So, you know, to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm part of the problem, I guess, in your view.
The Republican Party is controlled opposition. I've been telling people we haven't really had major change in this country since the welfare reform back in the 60s. These parties are extremely similar. Republicans, they talk the gun control talk and things like that, you know, every election. And then the Democrats, oh, they don't want to raise minimum wage.
Right.
But outside of the rhetoric, these parties vote extremely similar. They definitely look what they did.
I know people on the left who say exactly that. Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of people feel that way.
They support abortion.
What are you left with? I mean, it's like you're left with an insurrectionary element that goes in and tries to take over the Congress, which, I mean, that's not going to work. Look at the reaction. And the place is like an armed camp. There's more people. There's more troops in Washington than there are in, you know, in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined. You know, it's like the enemy has become now an internal. We're in the middle of a civil war, the beginning of a civil war. That can't have a good outcome, I don't think. Yeah.
One big mind control thing I also see is constantly talking about, everything should be peaceful. Everything should be peaceful. Thomas Jefferson did not think that way. He said the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. So this idea, that's another thing. This idea that everything's supposed to be peaceful, like, no. Why did millions of people die in the Middle East through the Iraq and Syria wars?
That's because people wanted war. People, you know.
And
had somebody like Saddam Hussein, who had a prison Abu Ghraib before we took it over. and where he was, you know, he'd get people he didn't like, and they'd torture him with fucking drills and things. So obviously, yeah, it's a very, very violent place. Now, I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's a bad idea.
Well, I mean,
maybe I'm
about
a peacenik, though, you know?
Let's take, they want to criticize Nazis right now, for example.
Right.
They
want
to criticize people that want to protect the Constitution. They want to call these people terrorists like Nazis. Let's use Nazis, for example.
Well, wait. A lot of people want to protect the Constitution like me, and I don't think I'm a terrorist, you know. I may have a political difference, but, you know.
Yeah, that's why the Bible fulfills itself with the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell without the mark, because that's either a law or a banking industry regulation where you can't buy or sell without the mark. That's censorship. What are we talking about right now all over the media? They're talking about censorship. So it's here. It's just, if you do not bring that time, eventually you're going to corner these conservatives. You're going to corner these people like myself and you that are willing to protect the Constitution. And then eventually you're going to see CEOs of banking, of industry, get assassinated. You're going to see politicians get assassinated. The thing about it is, because of the technology, the powers that be can pretty much fight back. Now, if you go to the Russia military YouTube channel, it's on YouTube. Their military robot, they have it on there for the world to see. They have military robots that can lift weights and fly cars and drive automobiles planes.
Yeah.
So eventually, once these military robots roll out, your 400 million guns that you have in this country is going to be irrelevant, because you're just going to be shooting at a robot. They have radar that can scan the entire neighborhood to detect.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a vision. You
have
a vision.
I can
see it.
Yeah. They think they have you. They think they got you. They think, okay, we got the technology. You know what? You guys with all your guns. I think that's why Beto was so aggressive when he said, "We're coming for your AR-15." Why? Because they think they have the technology to dominate you now. And that's why I was saying with the vaccine, there was a video of Bill Gates and the CIA from 15 years ago talking about how with the vaccine they can target the aggressive areas of the brain.
Well, that's
to make
the way you started by. This out. Now, you, it's an interesting idea. You think this does smack a little of a conspiracy. You think this idea of a vaccine, that's somehow going to pacify people and make them nonviolent and controllable and all
that's
of that?
That's 15 years ago. Bill Gates they have a video. It's on BitChute right now, because you know if you put anything on YouTube,
you
get
censored. Just because there's a video, there's a lot of crazy videos out there. I mean, my God. You don't have to believe everything, you know? I mean,
also, your high sugar diets also make you docile. Your fluoride. I mean, the thing is, with your brain, you're aggressive. There's aggressive areas of the brain, and that's why when people have brain injuries, you can tell the difference between a normal person that hasn't been brain injured and somebody with brain injuries. Well, if we've got vaccines that's causing brain injuries and causing disabilities, you guys aren't gonna have the aggressiveness to fight back. See, Beto knows these programs are out here, and they're gonna build bulletproof robots and stuff like that. See, they think they have you checkmarked, and that's where it comes down.
Well,
to,
you know, I think the technology and the advance of technology is going at such a rate it is frightening. I agree with you on that score. I don't agree with the details that you're suggesting, but I agree with the overarching fear that technology is getting out of hand. And there are, you know, all sorts of terrible nightmare visions of technology taking over. Sci-fi writers have been doing that for decades and decades, writing these horror stories.
Another thing I think that's coming too is an alien deception. See, don't think Hollywood hasn't been advertising aliens for 50, 60, 70 years. They in the United Kingdom, they said there's more people that believe in aliens than Jesus Christ in the United Kingdom.
Well,
they did a survey.
But that's not a good thing, is it, that people believe in aliens?
No. And I think that's the deception that's coming, is that behind this Area 51 garage, they've got animal-human hybrids
and they're going to advertise this that this is an alien from outer
space.
Well,
there's a famous sci-fi book, The Island of Dr. Moreau, which is based on that. It was written like 150 years ago. So these are not new fantasies, you know, that this stuff is happening. And of course, we do have more of the tools, so it does become more less sci-fi and more realistic, I suppose. Yeah. But I guess my concern these days is there's so much internet craziness out there, in my view, that I'm trying to figure out what is actually a reasonable, grounded idea. In other words, that we can all agree on, that the Constitution is a good thing. Maybe it's been corrupted in many ways. I grant you that, but it's a good document to start with. I think there's some people like on the left probably like the First Amendment, and the people on the right like the Second Amendment, and so we get into this struggle of truth and power, because of course guns represent power. Free speech represents the exchange of ideas. Well, the exchange of ideas doesn't do much good in the face of a weapon. You could talk all you want, and then you're shot dead, and your story's done then. We get into this sort of problematic area between the right and the left. How are we arguing here? Are we arguing, as you say, peacefully, or are we arguing, as patriots, all testosterone and adrenaline driven with guns,
Well, the thing is, your peace. See, if you have Wall Street and you guys, people, elites that worship Satan, they're in the occult, they work at Wall Street, they're bankers.
Well, I don't think they worship Satan. I think they worship greed. They worship money. The hell with Satan. Oh, they could give a damn about Satan.
Money. Okay. So you can – it's like, okay, you want to win the information war. Well, we can't really win the information war if you got people that's mind controlled by MSNBC sitting around television all day. But one thing that will –
I watch MSNBC, but then I flip over and watch Fox News. So I don't know who's mind fucking me more,
Both are.
I'm totally mind fucked.
Fear is going to keep your constitutional right in your pocket. But if these people, that's why they keep talking about peace. See, they want to rob you of your constitutional rights.
You're gonna wait, Steve. I'm not gonna just let you go from the Bible to the Constitution to Roswell to aliens to the vaccine. I mean, dude, I'm gonna put you right back up. But dude, and what are you doing? I mean, in the background, when you're not listening to John. You're not listening because I can hear you clanking around. It's almost like you're sitting around loading your gun up or something, Steve. I mean, come on. Stay on point. Point is, we were talking about what happened on January 6th, and suddenly we're off all over the fucking universe, dude. You're back on.
99% was peaceful. 99% was peaceful.
If you got 100,000 people and 1,000 people are violent and tearing things up and breaking windows and talking about hanging the vice president of the United States, they got handcuffs. You're going to go and lock up Nancy Pelosi as a hostage or something. It reminded me of when the Sandinistas took over the legislature in Managua in 1979. It was a big, big, big deal, and it was a ballsy thing. They were patriots. They just took every one of them. They held them hostage, and they had a big negotiation, and they were I think they were mostly released. But this could have gone that way. Again, only 1% of 100,000 is 1,000 people could have done this. And the 99,000 you know, they were hollering perfectly peacefully. I certainly would subscribe to that. But those 1,000 people, that 1%, were doing some horrible things when it comes to the idea of, you know, a government trying, as imperfectly as it has been doing lately, to govern. It's a disaster, our government. Somehow attacking and tearing up the Congress is not going to make it any better. You know, it's only going to make that much worse.
Well, here's the benefit of tearing up Congress. Fear will protect your constitutional rights. That's what Thomas Jefferson was coming from. If the government fears the people, you have liberty. If the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And that's where.
Well, I think if the government fears the people that much, with that many guns, you have civil war. In fact, a woman in the New York Times, the demon media New York Times, this morning projected that where we're going in this country, she likened to the troubles in Ireland. In other words, are we going to have a 30-year period where there's bombings and assassinations, as you say, of CEOs and politicians, and the hatred between the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland, again, a small, tiny little country. But she's projecting that this is where this could go very easily. And so in the next 30 years, I mean, we could really come unglued. And, you know, here we are, you know, with dead politicians at a scale that, you know, puts the 1968 to shame. You know, I mean, I don't think that's a good thing. I think that's, you know, I'm critical of the government as much as anybody. But, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, lock my house and put Claymore mines around my Vietnam vet, put Claymore mines around my house and, you know, get the guns out and get automatic weapons just to protect myself from my neighbor who's got a Trump sign down the street, you know?
It's unfortunate that, but liberty, people are so used to it being free and not cost them anything. The tree of liberty requires blood. That's what Thomas Jefferson was warning about.
No,
the tree of liberty
quote.
Requires.
I know that quote. Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but the powers that be, it's like you have a small amount of time where you can overthrow the government. But once those robots come in, once your guns are irrelevant, your 400 million guns that's in this country, once they're irrelevant. And they're not concerned about you fighting back. That's when it's checkmate. So there's a small
amount
of time to correct it.
You and I are going to disagree on that narrative. I don't see it that way at all, because I agree with you that people should be much, much more engaged than they have been with the governance of this country. People should understand history much, much better. You know, all those Jay Leno would go out and interview people like, you know, who's the Vice President of the United States? And they'd say, oh, I don't know, Daffy Duck. I don't know. People just don't know what the heck's going on.
But did you see how confident Beto spoke? Beto spoke when he said, we're coming for your AR-15. He spoke like he had the confidence of trillion-dollar powers standing behind him.
He's a liberal. He's a liberal. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't run from it. You know,
it's like
a liberal feels that there's too many guns in America, and I support that. I mean, I own two guns. I own two pistols, and you know, I practice with them, and I'm fine with the Second Amendment. But I don't think everybody needs an AR-15. Or I would go to a gun shop. Period. I was talking to this one guy. He was buying his fifth and sixth AR-15. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck do you need so many of these things with banana clips and all this? You wanted to get a street sweeper, this shotgun that holds 30 rounds, you know. I'm going like, this is getting out of hand. This is not the way we should run a government. We should all talk like you and I are talking now, you know?
Let's imagine
run this shit down, you know?
Let's say I'm a trillion-dollar elite. Let's say Steve from Indiana is a trillionaire, and
okay.
I hear all this peace. You keep talking about peace. I'm saying, well, since these patriots aren't going to fight back, I'll tell my secretary, let's call her Susan. Susan, what we're going to do, we're going to pass a law. We're going to have Congress. You know,
yeah.
K Street, I think Wall Street owns K Street. K Street controls these politicians. We're going to have these politicians pass a law that if you don't turn your guns in, we're going to turn off your bank account. You will not be able to own a bank account, and we're going to all digital. The cash is going to be banned because they don't have the will. They're not going to fight back. Everything is going to remain peaceful. So you turn in your guns, or we're going to turn off your bank account. Stuff
well,
like that,
you know,
this
is you know this these things are possible because
yeah.
you know we're already seeing people are not allowed to fly. Mm-hmm. You're on a no fly. You know you can't get around
mm-hmm.
in the country. You have to drive, I suppose.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all going to come back. But I'm saying what I'm trying to say is here: if
mm-hmm.
you're so obsessed with the Second Amendment and guns
mm-hmm.
as the answer to everything, you're already oppressing and stomping on people who believe that dialogue and the First Amendment and truth are the most important thing. And so, you know, I mean, guns are final. You get shot in the heart, you're dead, you know? Like
yeah.
that woman that come, you know, was trying to get into the Congress. She was shot in the neck and she bled
mm-hmm.
to death before they got her out of the Congress. And, you know, it's a finality of guns, you know, whereas, you know, the First Amendment and discussion and dialogue, yeah, it's not so satisfying maybe, but at least we all get to survive and we all get a little something out of the deal. You know, I just think that we need to talk about this stuff more, and it's good that you and I are talking about this. I frankly think that's good, but... It's not simple, you know.
Let's find some conservative billionaires, some constitutional billionaires. Let's have them purchase MSNBC, purchase CNN. We need to find some constitutional billionaires that's willing to purchase out all these media TV channels that these brainwashed leftists love to sit around and watch MSNBC all day. If we can find some conservative billionaire constitutionalists to purchase these TV channels, then we can start controlling
America. Yeah, but why do you feel that the conservative billionaire is much more attuned to the Constitution than the wimpy liberals on MSNBC? I mean, they're both advocating for the Constitution. See, I think what we're talking about, you and I, what we're talking about is Michael Lind has a new book out called The New Class War, and he's talking about the MSNBC professional class and the corporate professional class, conservative or liberal. They're the elite class, conservatives and liberals in the elite class. They pass the education on to their children, and they think they run the goddamn world. In many sense, they do run this world. That's the problem. And so you have all those working class and poor people, whether they're on the right, whether they're white, they're black, they're Indian, or whatever the hell they are, There's a lot in common of those working class people, although they may want to kill each other politically in some sense over these arguments, whether you're Trumpian working class or whether you're a Hillary Clinton working class or whatever the hell you want to call it. That if we don't work out this new class structure, which transcends right and left, conservative and liberal, then we're not going to figure this out. That was the power that the white working class found with Trump. Well, the white working class and the black working class, if you will, and other liberal working classes have much more in common than they have against each other, which, of course, is not going to prevent them from killing each other in a civil war. But the point is, this elite element, which is both conservative and liberal, you can't nail it either way, is the problem. And so I agree with you. We gotta share power amongst everyone in a much more fair method. But you're not going to get that by taking over Congress and tearing things up and killing people. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're just going to accentuate all these contentious polarizations, and people are just going to go at each other. And the way wars always work, like in El Salvador and places that I've been, wars are fueled, they're easy to start, and they only stop when people get sick and fucking tired of killing each other. And then they do stop. But it's a you shouldn't start them in the first place. You should figure out a way, a better way. That's my position. I don't know how you feel about that. You may disagree, but you know, it seems nuts the way we're going about it.
Yeah, I mean, if we go door to door, let's say we go door to door. Door salesman. If I go door to door selling freedom and liberty and saying, hey guys, CNN and MSNBC, you're walking straight into the mark of the beast. You're walking straight. They're coming to dominate you. I just don't think this country has that Thomas Jefferson 17. I don't think the country's aggressive enough to resist it. I think they have us checkmated. I think they have top psychiatrists working for them, psychologists. They know everybody wants to remain. Freedom is, unfortunately, it's just not free. That's
right.
I think that's a big problem. And so you take it for granted.
Yeah, it's how you define freedom. I think everybody, everything really works down to a semantic argument. What do you mean by freedom? I mean, somebody on one side will mean one thing, and then the other side will mean the other thing. You know, freedom.
Well, I mean, like freedom,
what?
For example,
to do what? Like, you know,
okay. Like freedom for if you don't get this vaccine for COVID-19, you can't come to work. In the Indiana legislature right now, there's a bill, SB 74, which employers will not be allowed to require a vaccine from their employees. I have more freedoms here in Indiana than the state of California and the state of New York combined. That's what I mean by freedom. Freedom, like, I don't have to get a mark, a tattoo, to buy or sell or to do banking or to do business, like the Mark of the Beast, for example. Avoiding the Mark of the Beast, that's freedom. Avoiding, you know, we're going to give you $2,000-$3,000 a month in unemployment benefits federally by Joe Biden, but you got to turn in your guns and you got to get 3 or 4 mandatory vaccines every year. That's what I mean by freedom, is avoiding.
No, I hear you. I think that, you know, you have a particularly – you know, skewed view. That's how you see it. But you know, many of us don't share that sort of view, and you know, that's fine. I'm all for, you know, we work this thing out. But you know, in order for 350 million people to survive as a society, that we're, you know, as Donald Trump would have us, you know, the greatest nation in the world. You know, you have to give something up. You have to compromise at some point. And if you're in the middle of this god-awful pandemic, you know, maybe, you know, the society, in order to get beyond it, has to get tough and say, yeah, you can't do this if you don't wear a mask. Now, that is impinging on someone's liberty. I grant you that is true. But it's also impinging on somebody's liberty when you breathe in their face and you don't have a mask, you know. So this is how societies, the social contracts that societies and civilization is based on. You know, you have to give something up. You give a little to get a little. That's the way it works. You can't be, you know, indulge yourself and say, well, if I can't do everything I want, you know, like. I mean, to me, that's ultimately infantile. You know, that you're overindulging yourself when you think that you can, you know, do everything you want and screw everybody else. But I understand that is a definition of freedom. That is a definition.
I think the left has been overindulging for decades.
Well, maybe.
I mean, the left.
I know many assholes on the left.
I think they get everything they want. They get welfare. When they want a legislation passed for welfare, the left gets it. They want an abortion.
Trust
the left
me,
got
someone
it.
Someone that has been in the streets fighting against the Iraq war, the Afghanistan war, Central America, and blah, 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 the drug war, every goddamn thing else. Don't tell me that the left gets everything it wants. We have been shit on for the last 50 years. Now, that's my feeling because, you know, that's my grievance, if you will. So, you know, don't tell me that the left gets all the stuff. I would say the right gets all the stuff. But, I understand. I take your position here. But don't go thinking that the left is gets all. First of all, Joe Biden is not the left. Joe Biden is so goddamn center that, you know, what the fuck? This idea that Joe Biden is a radical, extreme, communist, socialist leftist is so off the mark and inaccurate that it makes no sense. Because he's not the left. He's a total, total centrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written against him. I think he's a bum. I did vote for him, though.
Wall Street guy.
Wall Street, you can't get away from Wall Street. Donald Trump was a product of fucking Wall Street. You know, come on. Wall Street represents a lot, but
I'm going to start calling this the United States of China.
Okay. All right.
Well, see, I think I have a perfect peaceful solution, though. It's succession. Because China's been wanting to break this country up into two. China thinks if we break this country up into two, Republicans get one country, Democrats get another country. China thinks, hey, that's a peaceful solution. The country would be more manageable.
Steve, how did you come to the point of understanding what China thinks? I mean, did how many goddamn billion people over there, you know, really, come on. I mean, life is much, 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 much more complicated than that, than you or I can figure out what the fuck China thinks. You know, it's much, much.
And they want it. They got us, man.
They may have us. They're going to eat our lunch. I agree with it. And then why is that? Because we're so goddamn stupid. And yeah, they may eat our lunch. Yeah, they may. Especially now that we're going at each other, which they're delighted by, of course. You know, I mean, this idea of America coming unglued and going into civil war, I mean, Russia, China, they're giddy with this. They love this idea. And they want to exacerbate it as much as possible. That's why, you know, Russia elements did work with Donald Trump, whether he denies it or not. You know, I mean, it was in their interest.
It's a different country. Like, for example, in Washington, D.C., they've got a law that your teacher can vaccinate your child without your permission while your child is at school. It's like we have different countries in this country right now. Like in California,
true.
New York, in the state of New York, they were thinking about sending people that don't want to get vaccinated to a detention center, putting them in jail for refusing the vaccine. It's like you already have different countries in this country right now. I live in the state of Indiana. We have people that live in the state of Texas that want to succeed and get out of here so that the left.
Yeah, but where are they going to go? I mean, where are they going to go?
No, I mean, the Republican states can form their own government. That's what I mean by succession, as a peaceful way so that the left can have their own country. The state of New York can do what it wants to do to Washington, D.C. with vaccination.
Yeah, but,
kids,
you know,
the
only reason
everybody
this
can enjoy everything they want to do, everybody can do whatever they want to do and leave the state
of
Indiana.
That's not
going to
work. That's not going to work because that idea, in my view, is generated out of the reality of the internet we have, where everybody is encouraged and listens to people that repeat their own sayings back. You know, we're on our own bubbles. And so you can create separate entities on the internet, in the internet world, but in the real world still exists. You know, it's still out there. And you know, what we long for in the internet reality is somehow often doesn't sync with the real world. The trees and streets and, you know,
well,
whatever.
Yeah,
Anyway,
Steve, you brought up this thing about vaccination. I counted five times. That's before I started counting, and more than that because that's before I started counting. So, what is your problem with accelerating herd immunity by a vaccination program? Other than you don't want it, and you don't want your employees evidently to have it either, or your kids, right? So I mean, you're sort of violating all kinds of your libertarian individualism by imposing that upon your employees or your kids. I mean, now maybe your kids are sacrosanct. Maybe you should have a say over whether they have vaccines. But it's like becoming a Methodist. At 14, can they have a vaccine? Because a vaccination program accelerates herd immunity in a way which is more humane than just letting it run like a wildfire in Texas and Indiana and wiping out all, I guess there's a method to that, wiping out the poor who have to live together and the old who live in nursing homes. I mean, what's your problem, man, that you want to deprive them of the liberty of their free will to be able to have a vaccination? What's your problem with this?
Vaccines, and I hate to say it, it's a psychological operation in junk science, and I'll give you the evidence here. COVID-19 is also a psychological operation. You can go to the CDC's website, Johns Hopkins University. 50,000 more people died of all causes except violence. We're not counting for car accidents and gunshots, suicide, things of that nature. Just all causes like cancer, heart disease, respiratory problems. 50,000 more people died in the year 2019 than in the year 2020. The whole thing of COVID-19 is an overblown hoax.
People die all the time. None of us get out alive. It happens a lot.
They're counting all deaths.
But you're avoiding.
They're counting total deaths.
I don't know. That doesn't add up for me, Steve. I'm sorry.
You can verify it on the CDC's website. You can verify it on the Johns Hopkins University.
That death rate that you're talking, mortality rates.
Of
various causes, but the point is you're going to cause unnecessary strain on the health. You're seeing it with the shortage of hospital beds. I mean, come on, man, you're pushing.
They're
it.
Lying
you're
to
pushing
you about
it.
The hospital beds.
It's psychological. This is what's even more amazing that you actually think it's psychological. That's another premise of yours. Well, we're running out of time.
The media is lying to you guys.
Well, listen,
Hold up.
Steve, I'm glad you called. It's, I don't think we're going to agree at the end of this conversation, so let's leave it at that. But I really value you calling in. I enjoyed talking with you, and maybe we could talk another time. But I just think we're in a terrible situation. That we can either shoot our way out of or we can talk our way out of. I'd prefer to talk our way out of it, but that's my position anyway.
All right, nice talking to you guys.
All right, take care, Steve.
All right, bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve. Well, there you go, guy.
Well, that was interesting.
Yep, and that just about puts a pin in the end of this thing. And I thank John... Damn, John, you had to work today. I'll see you
Take care, guys. Have a good week.